whatever they are now and in the future.
A whole package of amendments.
Send the votes, Michelle.
So City Council will come back from recess. This has been an especially robust day for local democracy here in the Portland City Council chambers, and there's been some really very responsive research and optioning done by staff based on the hearing on Recap 5 last time, and council would prefer to continue this hearing so that we can provide our strong and focused attention to the great work that you've done. Only two people have signed up to testify. We would be happy to take testimony if you want and then continue the hearing. And if we continue to, and we'll read, I promise. If we continue it, when would we continue it to?
For how long do you want to put it out?
Next week.
Next week. It'd have to be the Thursday, the 11th.
That's fine.
At 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Thursday, the 11th?
Yes.
Okay. Can you please read the title to the council calendar item?
Item 187, Improve Land Use Regulations Through the Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Package 5.
And I want council to know how hard this team has worked to prepare for today. Some long hours, so we really appreciate your understanding. We're only human. I know. Disappointed, shocking.
What a disappointment. It is.
So can you please call the two folks to testify, and thank you.
Stephen Aguilar and John Carroll.
Good afternoon, and we look forward to hearing your testimony. Stephen, do you want to go first?
Sure. It's Stephen.
Stephen, sorry.
It's okay. So I'm here specifically to talk about extended eaves and setbacks. and I'm here to speak for extending eaves and two setbacks as a possibility. So one of the main issues is to create options for builders, essentially, when you're looking to maximize a site and construction on a site. The issue right now is your eaves extending beyond the, if you have a 50-foot wide site and you want to put a 40-foot wide building essentially on it, the eaves have to end at that 40-foot line as well. Extending eaves does a lot for protecting the building itself from moisture. So and it's also a historical, it's consistent with Portland's architectural style. Bungalows, kind of the vernacular of the city. I mean, it defines much of the vernacular in the city. The standard bungalow eave extension is about 2.5 feet, 30 inches. My company's built 6 LEED Platinum homes in the past couple of years. One of the requirements or one of the point potentials for building a LEED home and your green building standards is to have extended eaves of a 2-foot length or more. This would prevent being able to maximize a site and build to a LEED standard. Moisture, there's been many studies. Building Science Digest, actually, you should have all received attachment for attachment B that highlights this, but the Building Science Digest did a study in British Columbia, published it about eave overhangs and the increased probability, reduced eave overhangs and their increased probability of bulk moisture infiltration into wall systems into basements. What happens there is that you create problems, especially in new construction situations, with mold and health issues for occupants. So it becomes more than just a site issue. One of the main concerns is that it's going to create shading problems. In 2002, Sarah Architecture received a grant from the city of Portland essentially to build the Rose House. It was a green building study. And one of the things that they studied was the amount of candles of light coming in through daylighting into the Rose House, and they have 2-foot eaves in this building, and they actually exceeded the, they exceeded essentially the required lumens by over 10%. So it's not a daylighting issue. Shading has been proven that, generally speaking, the extension of the eave is not the shading factor that's that you would be having or would be the main issue to neighbors. The main issue is that building itself, the eave is pretty nominal. It's less than a couple percent of that actual shading. So bottom line, if you want to do green building, durable building, long-lasting buildings in the city of Portland, you need to promote extending the eaves.
Thank you for your testimony. If you have something in writing, Carla can distribute it to us. Mr. Carroll.
Hi there. My name is John Carroll. I'm here as it relates to the bicycle parking ratio in new structures. It's curious. About 2 months ago, I did a walk through a building that we just finished, the Elliott Tower, with Michelle from BTA, and we looked at the number of parking spaces that we had put in, and then I started counting the number of parking spaces that we could have put in, dead spaces, dead end spaces, corner spaces. And before we left the first floor, we had 287 bicycle spots that we could have added, could have been in the total. And that's without going to the basement. So I'm here in support of the 1.5 per unit. And from a developer's perspective, I'm sure at some point in time you get some feedback on it's very expensive and you can't include that, and I can tell you that that is not true. I can tell you that if you plan from day one the cost to accommodate the bicycles, it doesn't show up as a line item on a development budget. So I want to support the idea of increasing the density within our city. If we're wrong and we don't need that many bikes, well, okay. But if we're right, we say we need that many bikes and we don't have the parking spaces, then we've got a problem. Commissioner Leonard and I and a number of people traveled to Scandinavia to look at the transportation alternatives. And we walked by 10 or 15 100-foot by 75-foot wide barges that had 8 or 10,000 bikes on them. As, you know, I'm guessing and I'm grossing the numbers up. But it was a culture that was based on using a bicycle. And it wasn't offensive, and they weren't trying to jam it down our throat, but it was part of their culture. And over the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, if we're headed in the direction all of us intuitively know we're headed, there's going to be more alternatives necessary. Transportation, our streetcars, certainly a success, our light rail, certainly bicycles, pedestrians, and the like. And creating density in the core where you can support those alternative transportation modes, that will be a huge part of the formula. So I just want to underscore the fact that as this moves forward, love to participate in conversations about what cost it adds to. But from my perspective, it really boils down to it's a marketing tool for the city of Portland to talk about how they're dealing with density. And I want to strongly support your efforts in that direction. I'd like to be a resource. We walked through a building last night, very quickly, my apologies, walked through a building last night, and they had so few parking spaces that all the other bicycles were parked in what I would describe as common areas. And they had put notices on the bicycles that if you don't remove your bicycle in the next 30 days, we will remove it for you. So I found that interesting. So I took one of those tags and put it on a pickup truck that was 4.5 feet out into the drive lane. I don't know how that'll rest, but I just want to support your efforts here.
So please see Officer Pat on your way out of the room.
last quick, completely out of left field, and excuse me if you'd want to, but regarding historic structures, we participated in the Ladd Carriage House preservation, restoration. They had a demolition permit on it, and they said, oh, we'll just go ahead and tear it down. Over my dead body, was that going to be torn down? And now you can see what it's added to the streetscape and the livelihood of that street. And so as you look at other historical options, you don't have to have full block developments. There are times to accommodate them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We stand recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m. Thank you.